More money, more problems. Appreciation of assets after acquired property increases in income. Judge Isger, Southern District of Texas. We have our newly minted Judge Bradley from the Western District, Austin. And Christina Rodriguez, since our last conference, jumped the fence from representing debtors' counsel to now representing our newest trustee, Tiffany Castro. Welcome to this panel. Terrific. Oh, she went to the other side.
Take the edge. Sure. Take pot shots from the side.
What's your dog?
Emmy.
So we also have an additional panelist today, Emmy Bradley, who is... Emmy, would you stand up, please? Thank you. She's going to help us out today.
She's allowed to put her headphones on and watch some TV now.
She is allowed to do that. So we're here on a great issue, which is sometimes things go well for your clients. Things that looked like they weren't worth much are worth a lot more. Homes go up in value. You get a sudden bonus. There's more money than anyone expected. Does that turn out to be good news or bad news that that happens? And that's what we're really here about.
So the answer is it's really complicated, and it depends where you're in front of, what court you're in front of, what trustee you're in front of. But we're going to start with going over the basics so you can make a plan for your client. Property of the estate investing is kind of where we're going to start off. And property of the estate, we all know it's anything the debtor owns, wherever they have it, comes into the estate as of the date of filing, but bifurcates in sevens and 13s, right? Sevens kind of on the date of filing, 13s. We've got the 1306, which keeps going until the case is closed. And does appreciation, something that comes into the estate, or was the value determined as of the date of filing and did the property leave with the debtor at confirmation? So vesting is kind of what we're looking at there, and there's a lot of case law on vesting, and I'll let Judge go over that.
Okay, so Section 1327 says that except as otherwise provided in the plan or the order confirming the plan, the confirmation vests all the property of the estate in the debtor. That verb, vest, well, first of all, so this is the default. The actual plan forms, there's just a box. And I've always thought, I mean, I guess opinions differ about whether the effect, how much the effect of that box should really matter in terms of all these issues that we're about to talk about. But there's also this issue of underlying that, whether or not that box is checked or whether or not the property vests in the debtor. What does it mean for the property to vest in the debtor? The statute is—it's not clear. And so let's go to the chart on this. So there's these, what's been described as five approaches to this question. They range from the estate termination approach, which is the estate terminates on vesting, again assuming vesting happens, and the later acquired property doesn't enter an estate because the estate doesn't exist, unless the plan says otherwise. So that's one extreme. I think the other extreme is the estate preservation approach, which is that the vesting doesn't remove property of the estate, and all post-confirmation property of the estate comes into the estate. So the estate survives the whole time. It is filled with whatever comes in. It's everything that was there before stays in it. And I guess that is it's a matter of how what you're reading the statutory term vesting to really mean. Then there's these other approaches that kind of say, well, sufficient property to make the plan payments remains in the estate, but everything else is not in the estate is one approach. Or the estate replenishment approach, which I think is very softly could be described as a majority approach now, although again, I think it depends on the circuit that you're in. It says that property that vests in the debtor cannot, once it vests in the debtor, it doesn't re-enter the estate. But property later acquired becomes property of the estate, replenishing the estate, and that the estate continues to exist. And I think there's some Fifth Circuit authority that favors that approach, too. So I think is at least the dominant approach. But all these approaches can be criticized. They have pluses and minuses. And Judge Rhodes is giving a skeptical look. Do you have a preferred approach?